My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a football Friday, a Finnish Friday here on the Hoffman Show. Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980, and we are loaded. Nikki Javala is coming up in less than 15 minutes to give us the latest on everything we need to know going into the Commanders opener against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll get some Tampa insight coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll pick the games. We'll all of your usual Friday staples that you've come to love over the last 2 years of us doing this, or if you're new to the show, over the last year since football season, the last 8 months since football season, we got a couple of things we typically do on Fridays. We'll guide you through them as we go. But we start with just kind of some general thoughts, preview, and what's at stake in the game. And for week one, what's at stake is getting off on the right foot. I am not one of these people that's going to say, you have to get off to a good start. The season's over if they don't play well. I have a very, very long view on this season. And I expect there to be bumps in the road. I expect there to be bumps in the road early. I expect the road to get smoother as it goes. That is not directly going to be times frustrating to talk about on the radio, because ultimately it is, in the long run, a results business. But the ability to look at how a team is playing from an effort standpoint, how a team is competing week in and week out, is something that I think we can appreciate a heck of a lot more season after what we saw last season. We saw what it looks like when a team isn't competitive. We saw what it looks like when a team doesn't show up to play every single week. And so I think it's really important to keep that in mind as we go through this season, that this is, and especially this weekend, right? This is the first game of what we're hoping is a decade-plus run, at the very least, for Adam Peters. Head coaches lasting that long, it's really tough. I would love if Dan Quinn learned from his Atlanta experience and is able to figure it out here. He seems to just be an unbelievable human being. You root for people like that. He cares about the right things. And we'll see if he's good enough as a football coach and to hire the right people and sustain that over time to be here a long time as well. But this is literal step one. This is infancy. This is like the baby's still just like he's sleeping and pooping. Sorry, it's kind of direct. But baby's sleeping, baby's pooping, not doing a whole lot else. Now, is there a chance that this baby walks pretty quickly? Sure, that'd be sweet. I would love to be talking about a competitive football team late in the year that's not just competitive all of a sudden because they've had some growth throughout the season, but because they're competing for something, that the playoffs are legitimately in their grasp. That would be incredible. But on a baseline level, this weekend, does this team come out, play fast, play physical? Does the game plan not stink? Like, I mean, honest to God, after what we saw the last couple of years here, and especially last year offensively, can we just see a game plan that makes sense, even if it doesn't ultimately result in a win? Are there building blocks to grow on? And it comes against a Tampa team that is a tremendous challenge. Todd Bowles is one of the best blitz designers in the entire league and has been for the better part of a decade. if not more than a decade, frankly. And watching a lot of their pressure stuff this week in preparation for Take Command, in preparation for this show, you want to talk about a challenge for Jaden Daniels. And Dan Quinn talked about it earlier this week. They're like, thank God Jaden's a good processor. But he doesn't have the memory bank to even pull from. It's everything film study that he's been working on this week and in the previous weeks to get ready for Tampa. It's what they arm him with information-wise, but it's a new team. Like, what they did last year is going to be different. Devin White's one of the best blitzers in the league. He's not around anymore. And so what they do is – you know, a lot of teams that are three down defenses, aka three defensive linemen, three big hog mollies with their hands in the dirt. We always, you know, associate, okay, that means they have the two outside linebackers. Obviously, Washington fans know that from back in the day when the Commanders ran a version of a 3-4 for the better part of a decade with guys like Ryan Kerrigan and Preston Smith on the outside. Then you have the nose tackle and you got the two defensive ends. Okay. Well, Tampa still does that. But unlike a lot of teams that run the 3-4, when they go to four down, so they bring in an extra defensive back, they go nickel, and then, okay, Ryan Kerrigan, Preston Smith, they'd have their hand in the dirt. And that is kind of traditionally how defenses mold between three and four down structures, depending on how many defensive backs they have on the field. Well, that's not really how Todd Bowles rolls. And this is what makes picking up pressure, understanding where it's coming from, just so ridiculously hard, is they'll say, okay, Vita Vea and one other defensive tackle, you'll have your hand in the dirt. But now we got a linebacker that's just kind of mugging up in the A gap, the B gap, whatever, somewhere in the middle line of scrimmage. He's just kind of floating around. Two outside linebackers, two guys that are lined up as like in traditional edge spots, but they're standing up. But they're guys that can drop out into coverage. So it's not like you just, it's not like, we know who the known rushers are. It's like, no, that linebacker in the middle might actually be coming. You got Winfield down in the box floating around, and that's the simpler stuff. There are times they go three down, and then they'll overload with potential blitzers over those three down and have one standing edge guy on the other side of the line of scrimmage. So where, you know, I've seen alignments where they have three down in a traditional four down spacing, but the guy that's playing like a three technique, so between the guard and the tackle, is an edge player who's standing. But he's lined up over, you know, between the tackle and guard. You're like, what? What's he doing? Why is he there? Why is he standing? Why is he up versus down? And those three guys are down. And that's not worth, if there's three down, what do you mean they're separated and there's a bunch of dudes in between them? Like, they do some wacky stuff with their fronts. And not only do they do it on third and seven in a high leverage, you know, third down, known passing down situation, they do that crap to you on first and 10. And a lot of the blitzes they're going to call on first and 10 are more like run blitzes, if you will, things that are maybe a little less aggressive in getting after the passer, a little more disciplined in terms of rush lane so that there's not enormous gaps in the run game. But the run game itself is something that's really complicated. And we talked about this in depth in a way that we're not going to on the radio on Take Command. But the shortest version is when you block for against four down, which is what the Commanders have been practicing against almost the entirety of camp, how you get the double teams, who goes to the second level, the angles you can create, they're different. And maybe some of the runs you really like against four down structures, you don't even run at all against the three down structure. And so the play calling for Cliff becomes really complicated because, okay, they have their three down personnel out there. Let's call a run we like against a three down structure. Well, now they've lined up in some goofy front that's actually similar to a four down structure. And Jaden Daniels got to be able to change the play to get into a better run. And so there is, on top of the fact that there's good players defensively, some good DBs, guys like Jamel Dean's a very solid player. Obviously, Antoine Winfield on the back end is one of the best safeties in the league. Vita Vea is a monster up front. So like some of the ways you can take advantage of certain three down fronts, not so easy because Vita Vea is a mountain to try to move as opposed to merely a large man. On top of all of the Jimmys and the Joes that are good on Tampa, like, it is an extremely high neural load game for Jaden in game one to just get into the right play. Now, with that said, I do think one of the advantages of playing them early in the year is that Cliff's number one weapon in his bag, based off his history, to combat some of that stuff, to make that stuff tired, to take some of those disadvantages and make them advantages, is tempo. And so I would expect Washington to run some up-tempo stuff this weekend, try to simplify Tampa's looks. Let's get you, you know, even if we're going to face pressure, because Todd Bowles will blitz you even if you go hurry up. Don't think that you're not getting pressure. But if you do, there's only it's a little more predictable because they're not going to have their entire playbook. It's something they can call fast. So even if they call a pressure, it's got to be one that's kind of on their go-to playlist. And the more times you see it, the easier it comes to pick up. That is a way that Kliff can simplify the game for Jaden. Obviously, you got to get the run game going. You got to get some of those screens to hit. You got to get the quick game. And ultimately, you got to hit a couple of downfield balls. And not necessarily like go balls, although you know Jaden's going to throw a couple. But some of the intermediate stuff to move the chains. Otherwise, all you do with your tempo is go three and out quickly. So that's kind of the 10-minute purview of the game. Some of the things that I'm watching. Tempo. How do they handle the blitz? Obviously, as we go a little bit later on in the show, we'll talk about how Washington matches up with an interesting mix of scheme and personnel offensively for the Buccaneers. Liam Cohen, the new offensive coordinator in Tampa, replacing Dave Canales. How much of what they did last year very well will we see? How much of that fits with what we think Liam Cohen will do based off his history, especially with the Rams a couple of years ago, kind of coming out of that McVay tree. So plenty to talk about as we keep it rolling here on the Hoffman Show. But let's get the latest news and notes on everything as we head into game weekend. Nikki Javala joins us next on the Team 980.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And it's our pleasure to welcome back to the show our good friend, Nikki Javala. Nikki, we've almost made it. I feel like I've said that to every single guest this week, but it's a Friday. As they know known in Ashburn now, it's a Finnish Friday, and we have a game on Sunday. How are you feeling?
Great. It feels like it's taken forever to get to this point. And not only like a game, like a meaningful game. I don't remember the last time there was that.
Yeah, I was so we were
throwing
we were doing
shade
that
already.
Yeah, well, it's hard. All we have to do is reference last season still at this point because they haven't played games yet. And every time I do, I feel like a little bit dirty about it. I'm just like, I don't want to be talking about this either. But like, what else am I supposed to reference, you know?
Yeah, no, totally.
And on that front, we were doing our picks yesterday for all the division winners and all that kind of stuff. So just I pulled up last year's standings to have as a reference for everybody. They lost 8 straight. Like in some ways, we've blocked out just how bad it was to end last year. So we say like first meaningful game in a while, they were 4-5 at one point last year, and then they finished 4-13. So yeah,
it was like one of the longest losing streaks. Yeah, it's
not
a long minute.
Not good, but we're good now because it's 0-0, game one this weekend. And we have, I would say, probably minor breaking news, but you can tell us exactly what's going on here. We just got the email, the note that the Commanders have cut Byron Pringle. What's going on with their roster as they head into the weekend that he is getting cut on the Friday of game week?
Yeah, it sounds like it's just some bottom of the roster tinkering there. But that leaves them with 6 receivers at this point. And with Olamide Zaccheaus as their lone kick returner on the depth chart. So, yeah, I did see that one coming. But, again, you know, they're going to make plenty of moves in and around every week, probably, as they kind of tinker with the roster. They could add him back to the practice squad if he clears waivers, though if they do, they're already maxed out at 17 there, so they would have to make a cut or elevate somebody from the practice squad to do that. And there was also game status updates, which Dan Quinn kind of alluded to in his presser, but Marcus Mariota is out for Sunday, dealing with a pectoral injury that he suffered in Wednesday's practice. He did not practice today, did not practice yesterday, so he's out. Jeff Driscoll will be the backup. Brandon Coleman has been full all week, so he's full go. We just don't know. Is he going to start? We don't know. Quinn just said he'll play. And Johnny Newton is doubtful. They're going to take it all the way up to the game, but if I had to guess, I would be surprised if he's out there.
Yeah, it certainly seems like it based off what Quinn said today. And also, like, doubtful, if you put that on an injury report, the NFL basically launches an investigation if the guy actually plays. So definitely seems like it's unlikely. The Coleman response in the press conference I thought was interesting, Nikki. You know, and I'm wondering what other intel you've been able to gather and kind of your thoughts on this. Dan suggested that both Brandon Coleman and Cornelius Lucas were going to play at left tackle over the weekend. Why do you think that is, and what do you make of that being the plan going into a week one?
Yeah, I mean, Cornelius Lucas has taken all the reps with the first team offense throughout practice, at least in the media viewing portion, which is now limited now that the regular season has started. But, you know, he's the one that's gotten he has the experience coming in. And Brandon Coleman, obviously a rookie, but also did not get any preseason or joint practice work because of the shoulder injury that he got, like, literally the day he was named, you know, the starting left tackle on the depth chart. So, you know, they may try to ease him in. It's tricky because, like, you know, if Cornelius Lucas is playing well, do you really want to shake up the line at that point just to get a rookie starting experience? I would think not, but, you know, I don't really know what their plan is or what they're thinking is there. They've held their cards close. So, you know, I still think they really like the kid, but, you know, the injury threw a bit of a wrench in their plans.
As never has happened before in the history of football, of course, famously.
Injury-free
sport. Nikki Javala, Washington Post, with us here on the Hoffman Show, giving us the latest from everything going on in Ashburn before the Commanders leave for Tampa and week one of their season. Obviously, all eyes are going to be on Jaden Daniels. If you think back to draft day and kind of the process leading up to and what you thought was possible in terms of Jaden's readiness and how you'd feel about him starting week one compared to the reality of how you feel on the Friday before he makes his debut Sunday, how are those things the same? Are those feelings the same? Do you try not to set expectations? Like, how ready do you think he is, as we'll find out for real on Sunday?
I think probably as ready as any rookie can be. I mean, he's exceeded my expectations coming in on the whole. Just, you know, we've seen how many rookies and young quarterbacks come through and just some of the struggles they deal with and, you know, the challenges that they face on top of the obvious challenges of their position. But he's exceeded my expectations. He looks poised, unflappable, I would even say. You know, he has a very clear understanding of the offense, you know, just the mechanics, the footwork, the decision-making. I mean, that is all looks good. It hasn't been flawless. I don't want to oversell it. And, you know, he hasn't truly gone against the first-team defense, save for a couple team drills and joint practices. So, you know, he could still face plenty of adversity as a rookie, but he's come in prepared. He's worked hard. We've heard from teammates and coaches who have lauded his work ethic and the time that he's put in. So, yeah, I think he's as ready as any young player will be, and that's great for the Commanders going in.
So basically the same question about Dan Quinn. When we all had our impressions of Quinn based off what he was in Atlanta, obviously bad taste in everyone's mouth for the last game that happened in Dallas, even though he had led a top five defense multiple years in a row. How does the Dan Quinn experience through this first offseason compare to what you thought it would be?
I don't know that I had any real expectations. I mean, I know what his reputation is across the league. Very well respected. We've seen his defenses. We know about his time in Atlanta. So, you knew he was a good coach coming in. I wasn't quite sure of how he wanted to run things, but I mean, I will say he has been, honest about his plan. Same with Adam Peters. They've been very honest about their plan and vision for the team, and they've held to that, at least so far. So, I liked the tempo that was set throughout. And that, of course, that they held to their plan and said, we want to build through the draft, and made moves and decisions to actually allow them to do that. So I thought the change in practices were the most noticeable difference outside of the roster overhaul. Just, every minute was used. Guys are always moving around. The urgency in practice was noticeable, very noticeable. The energy in the locker room is very noticeable. There is that optimism, but you also feel like there's a group of players that want to be there and want to compete. So it's been quite different, and you hope it lasts. We'll see how it is, if they deal with any consecutive losses, how do they handle such adversity? That'll be a really telling point for this team.
Yeah, Nikki Javala is with us, Washington Post, of course, their beat reporter, covers not only the Commanders, but does a great job helping out on their NFL coverage as well, with us here on the Team 980. And I'll be the annoying journalist and ask the question, Nikki, is how much of this is because it's all new? Like everything, new vibes, new this, new that, new owner, new GM, new quarterback. They haven't played a game yet, so they haven't taken a loss. Everything sounds great. The plan, it all makes sense right now. And then they're going to go out, and Todd Bowles is going to throw the kitchen sink of blitzes at him. And, Baker Mayfield is going to throw the ball up to Mike Evans, and he's probably going to come down with more than a few because he's Mike Evans, and that's what he does. Like, how much of the plan and the good vibe and all the things that you just talked about is based off newness versus, you've covered the league long enough to know when there's substance behind something that'll have a little bit of grit and be able to withstand some of those tough times. If you had to guess, like where is that percentage of new vibes versus good vibes built on solid substance?
Yeah, I think it's both, obviously. There's a ton of newness from top down. I mean, a new ownership coming in, the new changes at the facilities, the stadium and the practice facility. New management with Adam Peters, new personnel department, they beefed up athletic training and recovery and how they treat families. And, everything is pretty much different. I think I did a calculation. I think it's only, it's like more than 60% of the roster is new guys they've signed this offseason. So it's significant. It's the most turnover of any team in the league this year. So, and for a franchise that has dealt with the crap, I'm allowed to say that, with the crap that they have.
Can't go further. We are on the radio, but that one you can get away with. We're fine with that.
Yeah, okay, good. I'm trying to keep it family friendly for once. I after these last 24, 25 years, like, the newness is, I'm sure, is quite welcome. You don't want it to be anything like the past. But I also think there's some real, not just optimism, but, optimism based on what he's shown so far about Jaden Daniels. I do think, and I'm guilty of this too, I feel like anytime there's a new quarterback, sometimes it can be oversold as sort of that hype builds up, the optimism around that newness. But I really do feel like Jaden Daniels is the one, at least since I've started covering the team, which was 2020, that really feels like he has a chance to truly be successful, not just this year, but for the long term, assuming they put, the right pieces around him and give him the help that he needs up front with the line, with the skill players, with the defense. I think for the first time in a long while, at least from, the fans and the reaction that I've seen is, you feel like they really have a legitimate chance. I'm not saying to win the Super Bowl, but to be successful, finally. They have the right brain trust. They have ownership that is willing to invest. They have the right personnel to make something happen. And each year, I feel like there was at least one or two significant knocks on the team where you couldn't fully say that.
The family and FCC, very important. FCC-friendly Nikki Javala with us for another minute here on the Hoffman Show. All right, Nikki, key to the game this weekend for you. If you want to pick one per side of the ball, I will allow you to. But what is your key or keys to the game for a Washington win this weekend?
Yeah, protecting. That's got to be the biggest one in my mind. And, I mean, look, there's only so much you can do against a player like Mike Evans. But, you know, if they can play sound football on the back end to try to limit the explosives, that would be huge. I mean, this is a secondary that has a long history of giving up massive plays that just, you know, kind of shoot themselves in the foot. But I think protecting Jaden, giving him the best chance to really be successful, has got to be paramount, not just this week, but every week, but especially when you're facing a front like Tampa's. Those are the two big ones for me, and they're probably going to be the same big ones for at least 4 or 5 weeks till you gain some confidence that both sides have it under control there.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, it's funny because the identifying those things from our seats, not always that hard. Accomplishing them, what the details that Cliff and Joe Witt Jr. have to do to actually execute them, that's where they get paid a lot of money. So
correct. Good, you know, it's so easy for me to say from the press
right.
box.
Hey, just eliminate turnovers. It's hold on to the football. But it really
what's
is
so hard about that, you know?
Yeah. That is what the game is, though. Like, hey, limit explosive plays and create some on your side. Okay, great. Right. How are we going to do that? I don't know. That's your job. Yeah. Figure it out.
Right.
Nikki Javala with us. News, notes, everything you need to know about the Commanders game against the Bucks. Not only over the last, 12 minutes she's been with us, but much more in the Washington Post, which you can check out at WashingtonPost.com/sports or when they throw it at your house. Nikki, thank you so much. And safe travels to Tampa. And enjoy the best press food in the league.
Thank you. I will.
That's Nikki Javala, everybody, with us here on the Hoffman Show. And really, Anthony, Tampa, I think I've said this on the show already this week, best press box food in the league.
What do they have there?
Oh, I'm trying to remember now. The thing that stands out is they made bananas Foster at halftime.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like fresh, hot fire in front of you.
All right.
Bananas Foster. I was like, dang.
That'll turn some heads for sure.
Yeah, and I just remember the other food being really good. I don't remember what it was. It was a long time ago.
But thoroughly enjoyed the experience.
But I remember being like, this is the one seed. eventually, I think Minnesota got to be there. The new stadium in Minnesota was pretty good. But yeah, Tampa, excellent job. I'll be eating whatever food's in my house because I'm not going. I'm hoping that maybe Northwest Field, a.k.a. the artist formerly known as FedEx, a.k.a. the Fed, hopefully that'll be high on the list this year because maybe I'll go to the Baltimore game. I don't know how many other road games we'll be at this year. Figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. When we get back, are we going to do this? We're going to try this Finish Friday thing, see how it goes?
Yes.
Okay. Confidence is high. Here's the deal. Dan Quinn is calling Friday's Finish Friday. So we want to know how you are finishing the weekend strong. Are you taking your kids, your wife, your husband, whoever, to a nice dinner? Are you, you know, it's just I'm kicking back, cracking a beer, watching the Eagles, Packers game tonight, whatever it is. We want to know how you're finishing the weekend strong. That's next. 301-230-0980. Finish Friday on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. All right, so here's the deal. We're going for Finish Friday. Finish Friday is the name of the theme today. Again, Dan Quinn's got Tell the Truth Mondays, and Monday at this time at 4:30, we'll be taking your calls where you get to tell the truth about what you saw in the game. You want to run something by me, you just want to get it off your chest, whatever it is, we're going to open up the phone lines. Last year, we kind of almost saved the phones until Tuesday. We'll still have our vibe check Tuesday, but we'll open up the phone lines on a Monday for Tell the Truth Monday, because that's the way Dan Quinn would want it. Tell the Truth Monday coming up on Monday at 4:30. Wednesday's competition Wednesday. Anthony and I are going to pick our games. We now have about five or six punishments, including having to write a haiku for picking games correctly or incorrectly. And then All About the Ball Thursday, we're just all about ball all day. That's just how it rolls. And then Friday is Finish Fridays, where we want to know from you how you're finishing the weekend strong. What you got on the docket this weekend? What are you up to? Anthony, how are you finishing the weekend strong? You got a wedding this weekend, bro. That's a strong, strong play.
You know how we coming in, man. Wedding is tomorrow, 6 p.m. So tomorrow, I'm getting a haircut. I'm fresh out the chair, Craig. I'm getting a haircut at 2, 2:30, somewhere around there. Then I'm going to jet all the way to Baltimore. I'm going to get to my friend Aaron's crib. You know, we're going to get dressed. We're going to take a shot or two and then head right on over to the wedding. And we're going to see my friend Tanner, who's been my friend since I was 14 years old. So this is a 14-year relationship. Him and his girlfriend, they've been engaged.
Now his fiance, wife.
Yes, soon to be wife. They've been dating since middle school. So it's been a long time, and I finally get to see these two walk down the aisle. And I'm so excited to, you know, celebrate, and I'm just happy for them overall.
Here's my question before we get to the phones. We've got a couple people lined up for Finish Friday. How much of this wedding is going to wind up on your Instagram story?
That's a great question, Craig.
Because I got to say, Wedding Haney is one of my favorite Haneys. When Anthony decides he's going to step out, show people, man, is it a show.
That's a great question. I don't really know. It's really a spur of the moment, so it's going to be based off how I'm feeling, to be honest.
The thing is, like, most of the time, it's other people's decision, though. Like, you're reposting, like, people are like, oh, let's go, Ant! And then it winds up, you repost, and then Rachel and I will be sitting on the couch and be like, man, Anthony had a time last night.
Yeah. I will tell you this. If they play Atomic Dog,
we know.
I will put on, you know, some of the moves. I will do that. I'll come out of retirement just for that. Yes.
You're not retired.
I am retired. I don't do it often.
Say it's only, because the song doesn't just randomly pop on.
True.
When was the last time Atomic Dog came on and you didn't?
It's a great question, Craig. That's a great question. I don't know. It's been some time.
Probably when we play the open on the show about Darren Haynes. That's probably the only time.
That too.
Probably the only time. all right. So it's Finish Friday. How are you finishing the weekend strong? 301-230-0980. Let's go to Doug in Richmond. Doug, how are you finishing this weekend strong?
Hey, Craig. Appreciate you taking a call.
Yeah, you got it.
So I'm in Richmond, so I think on First Fridays where they show all the artwork, I might go through down with some friends on Broad Street. Look at some art. Not really an art guy, but I think it would be cool to go with some friends and then cook myself a meal for the first time this week. I am an eater-outer a lot, so I'm going to see how my cooking skills fare tonight. And then, catch up on these exciting football games that are coming up. Start getting anxious with the late window game. Maybe drink a little. We'll see.
I love it. That's Doug gets the spirit of Finish Friday. And by the way, we love that Doug's veering away from his weekday schedule, Anthony. You know, he's normally not an art guy, but he's going to check out some art.
Yeah.
Two, not a big cook at home guy. And then he's cooking himself a meal. Doug, excellent work.
I'm not trying to bring down my apartment, Craig.
Now that's a strong finish. The apartment's still not set ablaze. Doug, thank you for calling. Appreciate the call. Excellent work. That is a Finish Friday. That's Doug gets the show.
A solid work. I was going to ask what he was going to cook.
Oh, that would have been a good one. We should have asked him.
Yeah.
We should have asked him. What are you making tonight?
I'm not making any. I'm going to eat out tonight. I'm going to. So the thing is,
we shouldn't say where you're going. We gotta have good operational security here.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be getting up with everybody that's going to be at the wedding tomorrow. You know,
yeah,
the big night before the big day.
Yeah.
But we don't know what time we're meeting up.
Nobody set a plan.
Nope. There's no plan. So most likely,
Anthony, we got a lack of leadership here.
Craig, usually I am the leader of these things. Like for the bachelor's party, I was the one that found the Airbnb,
here's the question.
Put the itinerary together.
Are you the best man? Are you the band?
I'm not
the best man. No, so who's the best man?
He's not doing he's having a wedding without a best man.
Well, that's the problem. Someone need to step up, and it looked like it was you, and then everyone's looking at you, and then they're like, ah.
They are looking at me. I think if there's no plan set in stone, by the time I get off work today, I will just make an executive decision. We'll probably get some Litos, pizza, we'll get some wings.
And watch Packers Eagles?
Yes. And just, you know, fellowship, talk about, you know, some of the stories from 10 years ago. It's a cool evening.
Say, in the theme of Finish Friday, that's a strong finish.
Hey, we got two finishes, dude.
Hey, that's what I'm, I saw you reaching for the phone. Is there anybody else lined up to talk for Finish Friday here?
No, I was about to, and then they
dropped.
Yeah.
Okay. But now that people understand what we're doing here, if you want to get in on Finish Friday, 301-230-0980. We'll also talk a little bit more about the game and maybe a little bit more about last night's game, because, boy, is there a lot to talk about from there. And then at 5 o'clock, we got a friend from Tampa coming on to preview the Bucks. So we're locked in. It's a Finish Friday on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Thursday night football last night got the season started. We got a Friday night game, Eagles and Packers tonight. Should be fun. And by the way, Anthony, maybe this is what we do here in part on top of talking about last night's game. We really goofed the end of yesterday's show.
Yeah, we did.
And by we, I mean 90% me. You have to take at least 10% of the blame because you could have saved me.
Yeah.
You'd be like, hey, by the way, we need to do this. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, thanks. So we came out of the last break, and we had saved our Super Bowl picks until that last segment. And then I just proceeded as if it was the regular last segment of the show where we do the best thing from the show today, real things. I was really excited for real things. We had a bunch of stuff that I wanted to play, and we never picked – Super Bowl winners. Not only that, we didn't pick the game last night. I did submit a pick like within the first 5 minutes of the game. So I want credit for that. Although, Anthony, you did not respond with a pick for the game last night.
Oh, really?
Not that I saw.
Well, I'll be honest. I was rooting for the Ravens.
That's what I thought, which is part of the reason I want credit, is because I had the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So I get the 1-0 start. You have an 0-1 start.
To be honest, I think we should just, you know, not even include it, because now I'm off to another horrible start to the season. That's all.
That reasoning is not good enough. Because if I had picked the Ravens and you had also picked the Ravens, I mean, I guess at that point it's a wash and we're just helping our own records for vanity's sake. But
yeah.
No, I have the text messages to prove it. I said Chiefs tonight, Chiefs for the ship, or Chiefs for the three-peat. So my Super Bowl pick this year is I'm saying they're going to do it. I think Kansas City is going to three-peat. And we can talk about why as we talk about the game from last night. But, Anthony, what's your Super Bowl pick for the year?
I'm going with the Ravens to beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl. This is what I said before the game kicked off.
That is true. Well, now, not before, but you said 5 minutes in. Well, you might have said it, but in the text message, it was when you responded to me sometime in the middle of the first half.
Oh. But
I have no doubt that was what was in your head before kickoff.
Yeah, that was in my head before kickoff for sure. But after seeing the start.
You already have regrets?
I just don't feel too confident about, you know, Baltimore just because their O-line isn't that good.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about that in a second, because I do think that it's being a bit overstated today based off one game of sample size, but and a lot of circumstances. But I've got Kansas City over Detroit. I just can't bring myself to San Francisco losing in another Super Bowl. So I've got Detroit making the NFC Championship game. Kansas City, I think they're the best team in the sport. They have the best player. They got better. Of the three rosters that they've had the last three seasons, two of which have already won titles, I think there's a legitimate argument to say that this is the best one. They've finally got a legitimate threat outside in Xavier Worthy, who scores last night. Granted, one of the ways he scores is on a busted coverage, but then he has the end around. Like, that super speed weapon, the speed is back in this Kansas City offense after being a bit more methodical. And the fact that Mahomes can beat you by taking advantage of the speed. He will not miss layups. And as seen by the touchdown pass to Worthy, and they can still beat you in that methodical way. And Kelsey's still Kelsey when things get off schedule, and how smart Andy Reid is in using all of these pieces. And here's the underrated part. Their defense is sick. Like, their defense is, I think, going to be real. Like, they have a potential to be a top five offense, top five defense kind of team, which just doesn't happen. But there is a legitimate chance that Kansas City certainly is top 10 in both. I would actually be surprised if they're not top 10 in both. Some of their rushers are coming on alongside Chris Jones. Whoever the heck is coaching their DBs is just ridiculous. Like, they just keep turning guys out, whether it's McDuffie, obviously elevated last year to superstar level, but the guys that they've got replacing Legarius Sneed made plays last night. And really, it took Lamar being an MVP caliber player to even make that game close. And what I'll say on the Baltimore side of it, though, Anthony, is I do want to acknowledge the fact that, like, this is a team that has gone through a lot this offseason, and specifically their O-line group. And I don't say this glibly, but, like, their offensive line coach died 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and obviously you've been sick, you've not been with them, but, like, that's not something you plan for, and it's something that has a huge effect. And so while the human side of that is far more important than the football side, we see the football side play out last night. This is a unit that's without their coach. They had some injuries as well in the interior. That interior was lined up against Chris freaking Jones, and still they're in Isaiah Likely having a slightly smaller shoe away from maybe winning that game in regulation if they go for two and get it. So to me, like, if I'm Baltimore, all things considered, I went into Kansas City and was that close with all these circumstances, I feel pretty good about the Ravens. Yes, they've got stuff to work on, but that's something I think they knew. I feel great if I'm the Chiefs, obviously, as well. But I think I come out of that game thinking those are two really good football teams who played, at the end of it, a pretty entertaining game to kick off the NFL season.
Yeah, it was definitely an entertaining game. The Ravens coming up short, literally a centimeter to an inch away.
See what Mahomes said afterwards?
Oh, if he wore white shoes?
Yeah, you got to wear white shoes, bro.
Yeah, that's a second-year player mistake, I'm guessing.
Apparently.
But, yeah, I think the Ravens – well, I'll say this. If Lamar wants to be a legitimate pocket passer, I think the O-line concerns me. But if he's going to make plays, use his feet, as he did yesterday, I think they'll be able to, you know, thrive. But I think when it comes to the playoffs later on in the season and you want Derrick Henry to get going, you want Lamar to be able to, you know, run the ball, something's going to have to give. And I just didn't necessarily see that yesterday out of the Ravens. It is game one. I might be, you know, overhyping it. But it was something that stuck out. And again, they're going against the defending Super Bowl champ. So it's just game one. It's game one. I shouldn't be blowing it out of proportion, but I was rooting for the Ravens. That's why.
Yeah, no, it's game one. And that's the thing. It's like, people, you know, what are we saying about the Chiefs today if they lose versus if they win? Like, oh, Kelsey's got to get more involved. You know, maybe a little bit more consistent. Like, what are you saying? Like, it's two teams, and when it's that close, like, how concerned should we really be? And so I just think that, you know, if we look at kind of the game that Lamar had, he took a lot of game or plays that should be huge negatives and turn them into positives. And that's because he's an MVP. And what I'm curious about, and I was actually trying to start pulling up some film right now, but I need to focus more on signing into my account and all that kind of stuff than I can do quickly and also still talk coherently on the radio. I'm fascinated to watch the plays he was pressured on and the all 22, because it's going to tell us whether he was missing a bunch of guys downfield or whether what I think happened, which is Kansas City secondary is really good. And so it's not like there weren't opportunities last night. I know, like, Grant tweeted out about, you know, his average depth of target was really, really shallow for a huge part of that game. But part of that was because when they called deeper stuff, it wasn't there. And instead of chucking the ball out of bounds over a guy's head and getting a longer target, Lamar would run for 6 yards or 12 yards or whatever.
Check down.
And not even check it down, right? Like, yes, he did some of that, but sometimes, like, it literally is target, right? So every attempt, as far as I know, goes into that formula. Certainly anyone that's considered a target, I guess if it's a true throwaway, they might scrap those. But the point being is it's not like they weren't calling intermediate and deeper stuff. I think the Chiefs covered it really well. And so Lamar then was stuck either checking it down, which is a good decision, or running, which for him is a good decision. They didn't call 12 design runs for Lamar last night, and then he had four scrambles. Yeah. They called like four design runs, and he had 12 scrambles. It's not like they're all of a sudden going to run Lamar 16 times a game. I think the Chiefs' defense is that good, and we should talk about it that way, because I think, before watching the film, I think that's the more accurate reflection of what actually happened last night. So we'll see. Because very quickly we'll have that film answer, and obviously the Ravens will face a non-Chiefs secondary next week, and we'll get a better look at whether Lamar can kind of process better in year two of this Todd Monken offense. But it is worth pointing out that part of why that happened was probably because the coverage was good downfield, because the Chiefs are rare in that category. All right, coming up next, back to Commanders and Bucks. We have a Bucks insider joining us live from Tampa to get us ready here on the Hoffman Show.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.